My guest today is Satellite Class. This is an artist that I had on the show back in April of 06. So it's a joy to have him back with some new material, some new music. We're going to do some live performing, some interview, listen to some tracks. In fact, we'll start with a track from a CD that they brought in. This is Satellite Class. Back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Satellite Class. I'm going to bring all the mics up here. We've got a good setup today. Why don't we just start up by, first of all, let me welcome you back, Johnny.
Thank you. It's lovely to be back.
And Dustin, welcome back as well. I had Slings on here shortly before I had Satellite Class on here. In fact, you introduced me to Satellite Class.
That's right. It's good to be back. I've been here twice before, I think. So we're happy to be back at Kill Radio.
So why don't we just go around the room, tell me what you do as part of Satellite Class and otherwise, since you got the mic right there.
All right, well, I'm Dustin, and today I'll be playing bass and some light percussion.
Heavy percussion.
I'm Tomas, and I'm going to be playing some guitars and some percussion.
And I'm Nico. I'm going to be playing some bass and guitars and maybe something else, I don't know.
Ooh, And I'm John. I'll be playing the banjo, wearing my straw hat.
Nice. Which you found in the garbage today.
It's now, pretty good.
When I had you in here over a year and a half ago, this was a two-piece band. It's changed a lot over the past year and a half.
It's quadrupled.
Yeah, tell me about the structural changes of Satellite Class.
Well, we had a change of roster and kind of started from scratch again. And I kind of just started writing a bunch of songs just as almost in a therapeutic manner in my apartment, and not really planning on putting anything out or even playing any shows. I was taking a break because that kind of just came to an end after a long chapter. And I started recording them on my coffee table, and just like this setup right now in my boxers usually. Mm-hmm. And
That's where the best music is made.
That's a real pretty picture to imagine.
Guitar.
No one ever wrote a good song in briefs.
No. You got to let it go. Anyway. And,
ventilation is very important.
Right. It's hot summer night. Had a shaker. Actually had that shaker and that tambourine. And one mic and my this guitar. And a squirt bottle that I used for a bass drum that I mic'd. And I just banged on the coffee table. Mm-hmm. And I just started recording songs just off the top of my head. I wasn't even really thinking about the quality of the recordings or any kind of, ambiance or anything. I was just laying them down, and they kind of like started to come together as a whole body of work, and a couple people heard them and were kind of excited about them, and then I realized, well, this could be like a little album. And then I started to kind of really record more and get things down that I'd been just sketching out, and taking more time with the recordings, make them a little sound quality a little better. Anyway, it's turned into like 22 songs that I've finally finished pretty much last
week. Yeah, a little album. 30 songs later.
Yeah, it was closer to that, but you can only fit a certain amount on a CD, so I didn't want to go double CD. So I just and I just picked the better ones anyway. So there were some bad
ones. It's a little early in your career to be releasing a box set.
It's a little slightly early.
Do you think that when you started the Satellite Class project, it was, it being a two piece, it was a very collaborative effort. Do you see now that it's more of a reflection of you as the singer songwriter, as Johnny and his band Satellite Class?
It did change. It was definitely a different scenario, or the first sort of earlier work, and it definitely was a little bit more introspective and autobiographical, and so it did change, but I think I just needed to do that to grow, and and I think I've come even light years farther than when I started, even vocally. Like I can't even compare it. I can't talk right now, but when I sing, I can't even compare it.
So you listen to your old stuff, and it seems like a different person.
I love the material. Like, I'll always love the songs, and I still want to play them a lot of times, and I want people to hear them, because nobody really ever heard them that much, and I'm proud of them, and I love them, but I also, think I've really, matured vocally, lyrically, and just, using my voice, so I'm kind of excited where I'm at now. So,
you guys ready to jump into a live song?
Yeah,
sure.
All right, what are you going to play for us first?
This is one that we just played. We played at Spaceland about a month ago, and that was the first time we played this live. And so we're going to try it again. This is closer to what the recording was. We kind of rocked it out at Spaceland.
What's it called?
It's called "You Suck, But I Miss You Anyway."
Oh, that's sweet. All right, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Satellite Class. Stick around.
Thank you.
comfortable Sunday. This is the day that you will pack and go away. Oh, you know how it will be like, why don't you just stay? Oh, I'll scribble notes that I will hide in your suitcase to let you know that I am home and here I wait. Uncomfortable Sunday. Take your time. Let things ripen like them green grapes on the vine. It will be that much sweeter, you won't even have to try. Still mark up the calendar, hoping the time will fly. I'm hoping the time will fly.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Satellite Class. That was awesome.
Thank you.
That was a great start to the show. Before I forget, we failed to mention there's a member of your band that isn't here today.
Yes. Hello, David.
From Slings, who is one of the best drummers in the SoCal area. I mean, the guy's a machine.
These guys always rave about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's
very special.
He's like an octopus on that. It's really crazy.
He wishes he could be here. He's currently hawking screwdrivers and hammers. But you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that your vocals have evolved a great deal over the past year or so. What about guitar playing? I mean, there's some insane guitar work in that last song you just played.
Insane. Thank you. I think it's come along too, and it's come along because it's usually live. It's a three piece, if not, you know, sometimes more. So I don't have to play bass with my thumb and rhythm guitar with my three other fingers, and then lead with my pinky. And you know, it was just kind of frustrating before, but it worked, and it was what it was, and it was kind of like just raw and straightforward. But now I can just, you know, I got Dustin, you know, underneath on the bottom end. A lot of times I can just kind of relax and just do some lead stuff finally. And actually, eventually I want, and it's still acoustic, but eventually I'm gonna get out my Stratocaster, dust it off, and start doing that again. So
how did the songs sort of fill out? I mean, does it start with you writing them just as a solo acoustic artist, and then relying on David and Dustin, whoever else you're playing with, to come up with the rest of it, or do you write the other parts and sort of hand it to them?
I think up until the present moment, I think I've been kind of coming in with most of the parts already written. Certainly not the drums, but most of the bass lines were already recorded as a kind of like a sketch, so we kind of just go with that. But I think we're getting to the point now, in the times we do rehearse every 6 months, that we are going to start writing together, and I'm kind of looking forward to that.
What usually happens is John gives us a CD, we listen to it faithfully and learn all the songs, and then he shows up at practice and wants to play it completely differently than it is on the CD.
Drunk and in his underwear. Let's do it like this.
Actually,
snarls
in
the boxers, ready to go. Yep. But
do you guys sort of put in your own take on what he's brought you?
I'm such a fan of John's music that generally I feel lucky just to have the chance to play the CD version. But then he comes in and he's very open to letting us add our own stuff to it. And
well, I get to play with the Slings. I mean, come on. I don't want them to be like hired.
We get to play with Satellite Class.
You know? So.
No, it's fun for us. And with Slings, David hardly ever gets to play drums. Mm-hmm. And that's his primary instrument that he first learned. So it's fun for him to just kind of go off, you know.
And John, you also play with the Slings when you guys perform together sometimes.
There's been a few times. I do sit in occasionally. Mm-hmm.
Has that been kind of, you know, a subjective discussion as to where the line is drawn between Slings and Satellite Class? Like
it is kind of funny.
It's kind of unusual where like the backup part of the band is actually another band.
Know. And I'm always telling people, you got to hear this band, Satellite Class. They're like my favorite band. And, wait a minute, I'm kind of in the band too. Not really. Like, I'm such a huge fan of John's songwriting. And I don't really think of myself as a member of Satellite Class, really. I'm just like sitting in to help out.
You're a conduit for John's
John
work.
Would disagree with that, though.
Well, at the risk of John said getting so big that it kills us all. Why don't we listen to another track for the CD you brought in? What do you recommend?
A bigger jerk than I am. let's do the second track, and this is something we can talk about after the song finishes. This is a studio re-recording of one of the songs that I did in my boxers that I did with all three of us here. So,
all right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Satellite Class.
Me feel so
On Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Satellite Class. Before we go into a live song, you were going to tell me a little bit more about this song
that
we just listened
song
to.
It's called entitled Someone, and we recorded that at Circle of Sound Studios in the beautiful Pacific Palisades, which is the studio of Tommy and Nico here. So they score films and television for a living, and brought me in to do that song for upcoming film they scored entitled The Cook, which should be released sometime in the future. It's gone on a little longer than they expected, but anyway, it was an awesome experience to work with these guys. They're true professionals. And
is that something that you've been interested in before in terms always of like licensing your music?
Yeah, I've always wanted to get into it, and it was the first time I really did it for real, and I'm addicted to it now, so I just show up at their place randomly, unannounced.
with a drunk in your
pack.
Boxers.
Yeah, like, let's do it, guys.
Well, when you think about your about the sort of journey that your music makes after it's been recorded, how do you see your audience listening to it? I mean, do you picture someone listening to Satellite Class songs, say, in the car, or do you think it's more the live experience at a show, or do you see it more in terms of being in the credits of a film or something like that?
I think it can be listened to in a variety of formats, and I definitely think it's on the catchier side, and it probably would lend itself well to commercial work, commercial use, which I'm not opposed to at all, and but also, like, I love just with people to pop it in the car on driving on the 110 or something and just blast it. I mean, that's great. But also, they're quiet songs now too, so you know they're good for sitting out with a glass of wine and just at the end of the night and crying all night or sitting with your significant other. And so I lost my train of thought.
No, I don't think you did. I think that was it. That was exactly the right answer. Why don't we go into a live song then? What would you like to play for us now?
This is called Be With Me, and we've never played it before except for last night. So it's something I've been throwing around for a long time, and we're going to put it to good use, and hopefully the next CD it will be one of the tracks.
All right. Whenever you're ready.
Give it a shot. I actually have to look at the vocals here because I can't remember. Okay. Be with me.
Just for
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Satellite Class. Once again, well done.
Muchas gracias.
Performing live in Los Angeles, something you've been doing for a while now, it's a difficult thing to do. I mean, there's a lot of musicians in LA. There's a lot of venues, a lot of different kinds of venues. Have you kind of been able to narrow down, like, what kind of shows you like to do and what makes for a good show and what makes for maybe not so good a show?
I think I've gotten to the point now that I can kind of start doing that. I've always tried to play the better venues and get in, and it takes a while. And I'm just kind of starting to do that now. But every time I have played, I always, at least one or two bands on the bill that night are great and kind of I fit in with. And I mean, I just do my thing, and usually we hit it off, and you know, we remember each other, and then that'll lead to another show, this and that, and I think that's how it works here. I mean,
it seems to be a growing trend in the indie LA scene of sort of bands forming alliances and you know, using each other's fans to help build shows.
Right, and you find your own, if you do it a while, you'll find your own little niche and your little community and your style. Well, you know, the fans will be there and the other bands will be there. And I mean, I'm not a good promoter at all, so I don't even have bumper stickers. So I just get shows and I play it and I just do my thing and I have a couple of drinks and I go home. But if I meet certain people, it'll be great and that'll lead to another show. And it just seems to be working itself out on its own time frame. I mean, it's frustrating sometimes because you have this great show and then 3 months and you don't play again and you're, you know, doing the 9-to-5 thing. But you know, it all happens how it happens, and it's fun, and it's an art form, and that's really what you have to remember. And
so you try not to concern yourself too much with like draw and things like that.
I mean, it's always an issue because the promoters make it an issue, and rightly so. I don't blame them, but I never do like the pay to play thing. I'm like, it's just I'm getting too old. I just want to play, you know.
Yeah, I think that would be a strange thing to see, like Satellite Class at Whiskey a Go Go.
Yeah, no, it's not gonna happen. So, you know, if people ask me to play shows, or I will try to get them, and sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And I think it's just getting certain people to the show, you know, people that you want to hear. And you know, it's always great when the room is packed and there's people coming up to you don't know that loved it, and that happens every now and then. So
is there a certain quality to what you consider to be a great live performance where you get off the stage and you're like, yes, that's what it's about?
Actually, the last Spaceland show is probably the best show I've ever experienced.
I was there. That was a good show.
It was just a great night. And it was a great venue, and the sound was great. And I had a bunch of people show up, all good friends. And we did pretty good up there, I think. And we played that first song we played tonight, and we never played it before, and we just were like, screw it, we're just going to do it and see what happens. And it was like, to me, it was the highlight of the night. And it was great. It was just like the perfect show.
So is that like a big thing for you, sort of being able to go up there and take a risk with a song maybe you're not so used to playing and have it come out well?
Yeah, I don't like to just go up there and do totally rehearsed things. I like it to be completely sort of, you know, I don't want Dustin to know what's going on at all. It's just more fun. It's interesting, and it should be a different thing than just recording process. It's a communal kind of thing, and it's kind of like a little movement up there, and you know, it happens for 45 minutes and then it's over. So it's like a little experience. So I'm not like an animated performer either at all. Like, I don't even look up half the time, and I like shake my hips a little bit, or I might tap my toe. So I'm not like, you know, you're not gonna come and see that, you know, Justin Timberlake or anything.
You're not gonna be like on your back playing the guitar with your teeth or
no
anything.
I'm working on my moves though.
That's good.
I am. I'm just letting everybody know. I am gonna take it up a notch.
You can practice it in the recording studio.
Yeah.
What speaking of recording, is that's such a different process. Like, do you enjoy that, or do you miss the audience participation, or do you like being able to lay down that perfect track?
I certainly lean more towards the recording process. I'm just kind of more of a private, kind of quiet guy, and I like just to I've always been recording. I've always had a four track since I was like 12, and I just loved it. I've just always been, even before that, my little brother and I were making radio shows and playing instruments and writing stuff, so on cassette boombox. So, I mean, it's like probably my most favorite medium.
What came for you first, just speaking of when you were young, was guitar or singing?
Oh, no, guitar. I mean, I was petrified. I mean, actually, I did sing when I was like 5 to 10, and then I just got super shy. I don't know what happened, and I don't think anything bad happened, and we should turn this into therapy, but something happened, and
someone
I just
said, turn that kid off.
I stopped talking, and my mom will vouch for it. I just stopped talking. And literally, like 3 months ago, I started talking again. And
nice.
I finally, you know, I'm feeling much more comfy singing now than I ever have been before. Even when I first started, even this band started, I was mumbling half the time, and I really soft, really singing, and you couldn't hear
anything. It's interesting now that you mentioned, I'm thinking about when I had you on the show last, and like over April, I think, of 06, and
horrified.
You were not the talkative one. The music was still great.
Right.
But,
oh, I didn't say a word. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. So it's great to have you back and see the evolution of
thank you.
Of you and the music. Why don't we listen to another track from the CD?
Okay.
What do you recommend?
Let's do number 3. We'll just do it in order. I mean, why that's why make it any difficult than it needs to be?
What are we going to listen to then?
What's this is called So Far Away, and it's kind of a pretty song.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Satellite Class. Stick around. There's more to come.
You're so far away from me. So, so far away from me. You're safer there. In time you'll see from what I pretend you be. You're so far away from me. So, so
on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Satellite Class. myspace.com/satelliteclass. Is that the best place to go to get up-to-date info?
Yeah, or satelliteclass.com. So
it's I guess it's like a necessary thing. I mean, especially if you're not really super into promoting, it's you need to have that sort of place to at least put up a flyer.
Yeah, MySpace is very handy for that.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about this album that you've put together. I mean, is there an estimated release date? Or, you know, I've been working on it for a long time. It's got
it
a lot of songs.
It was July 2006.
Uh-huh.
Was the estimated
How'd that work out
date?
For you?
We're a little behind. You know, I'm gonna get some printed up now. It's definitely finished. I kind of get obsessive about it, and I know that, but it's definitely finished now. And we mastered it ourselves, which was fun and worked out well. And Jonathan Parch, who looks after me, is shopping it around. So we're hoping to release it through like a small little, you know, folk label or something. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we're shooting for the stars, and then we're also hitting the little guys too. So, and you know, we'll see. That'd be preferable. So, but I'm also ready to just get some to print up to sell at the shows and just hand out. And
like, is there currently a place where people can get your recorded music?
No. Actually, they can download some of it on the .com site.
At satelliteclass.com?
Yeah, they can burn a lot of it, old stuff and some of the new stuff.
Now you mentioned this idea of being on a small indie folk label. You know, the music industry is going to want to compartmentalize and categorize you. You know, you're a singer-songwriter, but where do you think people kind of, what kind of corners do they paint you into? I mean, it's... You know, it's not just folk music, it's not country music, it's not rock, but it is all of those things at the same time. So what do you have like a pitch to explain to bookers and labels what you are? Or
before, like the older stuff, somebody had quoted the term fast folk pop, which I kind of liked. And it kind of still
fits. Oh,
yeah,
FFP, yeah,
yeah,
totally.
FFP. Yeah. And I don't know. It's like that's the good thing in the curse is that we can fit in a whole different, in a whole variety of genres. But at the same time, that's kind of can be irritating and
mm-hmm. Oh. Irritating, like the sirens that are going by.
Yeah,
down in Vermont.
Yeah.
Right now.
Cookie break. I brought some cookies. Nico's chomping on a.
Oh, they brought the extra loud ones out today. That's good. Yeah, I guess that is a challenge for a lot of people then.
But it's kind of out of your hands too. It's, you know, once you get to the point where you're going to be commercialized, so to speak, they're going to do what they want with you anyway at the end of the day. So
do you think where you are now that you've sort of found your sound though, or is it going to continue to expand?
I think I've definitely fine tuned it to where I want it to be, but I also have a lot of plans for much more in-depth orchestration, trombones, and I like to get a female singer to sit in sometimes, and I hear certain things, parts that would work for that, and because on the CDs I did a lot of high-end kind of upper register, so to speak, harmonies, and I can't really always pull that off.
And you thought,
live.
Wow, if I was a girl, this part would be better.
If that was a girl,
yeah,
it would be a lot better. So anyway, yeah, so I definitely see it growing even further. And that's where Nico and Tomas come in.
Cool. All right, you guys ready for another live song?
Yeah, we're going to do one that we've never, ever played before. And it's one of my personal favorites. And I know it's Dustin's personal favorite, I think. One of them. And it's called Pull Myself Up. And we're just going to try it.
All right, let's do it. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Satellite Class.
We did it.
Yeah. So, John, tell me about, you mentioned that the work that you're doing now is more autobiographical. In terms of songwriting, I mean, we talked about it being different genres. But one thing it really kind of isn't is pop. It's kind of like redundant, mathematically structured music. Give me some insight into sort of what goes through your head when you're writing a song, both lyrically and structurally.
This body of work actually was, I mean, like I said, it was like therapeutic. Like, I wasn't even thinking. It was just kind of jotting down lines and laying out these tracks. They just kind of came, and like, I wasn't even like concerned about verse, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus. It just kind of, like that last song, doesn't really have any kind of normal structure at all.
Exactly.
And I just did it that way, you know. I don't even remember really doing it. I just laid it down one night and that was it and moved on. But that's how these songs were. They just, very personal. I was going through a big change and really kind of wonderful time and a really painful time at the same time. And it was a huge, huge period of growth for me and dealing with things. And that's what these are a reflection of. So a lot of it I wasn't in a coma. I was conscious, but it was subconsciously just kind of laying it out. I wasn't really thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And then now, I'm kind of in a more stable, situation as far as my personal life. And, now I'm really starting to think about crafting songs that aren't necessarily, woe is me or those kind of songs. And, coming up with more narrative things and not necessarily about me, but just, and it's kind of a challenge. It's much more of a challenge because I've always kind of, been really self-centered. And
but you've generally kept your lyrics pretty abstract as opposed to, this is a story about blah, blah, blah.
Been like fragments of me in there. Mm-hmm. And it'll always will be. Like, I think even songs, like, I have started writing some things that aren't about my, everyday life. But it came from something that happened to me or something I saw. And mm-hmm. I'm taking it from that and then making something
but
else.
Even though John's songs, I guess, were written about himself. By himself. When I first heard him, I was blown away. And I think they're songs that anybody can relate to. Mm-hmm. I found myself relating to him, even though I wasn't going through what he was going through. But it's, they might have been personal for him, but for me personally, I was like able to really relate with him and get something out of him. And I think a lot of other people will be able to also.
John, Dustin, some of those songs are about you.
maybe I was going through it with him.
With me.
But yeah, I mean, he might have written them about himself, but I think they're about all of us too.
He's a sweet guy, isn't he?
You play, Dustin, you play a couple of different instruments, both in Slings and in this band. Is there anything that you do instrumentally in this band that you sort of... That's tailor-made for Satellite Class, that that you do differently than you would in Slings to bring out John's voice or his style of song?
Right. Well, I generally never play bass. I've never been comfortable playing bass, and with Satellite Class I find myself playing bass on half the songs, so it's kind of an interesting experience for me. I don't think of myself as very talented bass player, but
you feel like you belong playing bass in this band?
Yeah, I feel comfortable in Satellite Class playing bass and keyboard. That tends to be the two things that I end up playing a lot of with John, and I'm not very good at either instrument, but with John's direction, and it all kind of comes from like a simple approach. Mm-hmm. Like, I think John's an amazing guitar player, and I would never want to play guitar Satellite Class songs because they're too hard, but I can get away with playing some little bass lines and keyboard melodies here and there.
But you're unlikely to hear like a long drawn out solo keyboard part to a song.
You will not hear that, at least not played by me at a Satellite Class show. But I hope hope that what I do kind of complements the music. We'll see.
Certainly does.
If not, blame John. He told me to play it.
Let's listen to another track. I don't know, track 4 maybe? Or
that seems to be a good choice.
What is that?
Actually, that let's listen to that one. That's one I never really play much. It's called Mourn in the Morning.
All right. Stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Satellite Class. Of course, drop by myspace.com/satelliteclass and satelliteclass.com.
When you're talking about it. I think so.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org. Satellite Class is my guest. And before we run out of time, I want to get as much music out of you guys as I can. We were talking a little bit while we were listening to that song about MS Garvey, and this is someone you've played with a bunch, and he has an interesting project, so I figured we should mention it as part of the Satellite Class interview.
Yes, it's all intertwined. MS Garvey is a large man, and he's a political activist, poet, artist, writer, and he actor, and he writes a letter to the president once a week, and he's written about 150, maybe more. Actually, I should know this, and he mails them all and originals, and he's got an FBI file on him for sure. Anyway, we do this collaborative show, as you witnessed at the Lava Lounge that one night, and all of us now play in it, and we just got a theater run in Venice scheduled for November, I believe it's the 28th, 9th, 30th, December first and second, that might be wrong. And then it's the second week in, or first weekend in December.
So it's him doing his spoken word performance and you guys backing him up instrumentally?
And it's all, and I even use the term spoken word loosely because it's all just intertwined. That's probably him.
That's probably him, huh?
He is such a shameless self-promoter that he's calling from Chicago.
Kill Radio. Is it? Let me plug
you into the system here. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey. Hey.
Turn this down. Hello.
They say hello, and thanks for calling in. You're calling all the way from Chicago?
Chicago, Illinois.
Nice. Do you like playing with Satellite Class?
Oh, I'm just sitting around at the moment in my boxers trying to figure out the chords to So Far Away.
Why, tell me, since I have you on the line, why do you like to have Satellite Class doing the instrumentation to your spoken word performance?
Say it once again?
Why do you like having Satellite Class do the music behind your performance? Does it bring out your words in a certain way?
It's hard to say, really. It was such a collaborative thing. It just kind of came together. It's almost like a drug trip, really. there's just the support amongst everybody there right now, but it began with John. I don't know, I just, there's something about, maybe, the, now I'm listening, re-listening to you, this is crazy. What do you guys got going on here?
You? Yeah, you're going to have to turn down your radio, because it's about a 30-second delay.
There's just an organic thing that happened. Maybe it's just friendship, maybe it's love, God knows. That's what's behind it.
All the songs are about Garvey.
Has the president written you back yet?
The president, I don't know if he wrote me back, but his people wrote me back. He sent me a response to maybe my eighth letter, which came in September of 2002. And I asked him essentially, I went fishing. I said, "Dear Mr. Bush, would you send me an autographed picture? Thank you, M.S. Garvey." And then... March 22nd, 2003, I received that photograph. With best wishes, George W. Bush. Postmarked March 20th, which was day one, Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Well, it's good that he had the free time and the frame of mind to write to his fans on that day. Obviously, nothing else was going on of interest.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well,
for him to give me the best wishes.
Well, thanks so much for calling in and teaching us more about Satellite Class. I'm going to let you go, and we're going to do some more live performing in here.
Beautiful. Thank you for playing, and fellas, you were wonderful. Really, really nice show. We'll see you soon.
Take care.
All right, that was fun. All right, that's M.S. Garvey. And does he have a website or something people can check out?
He does. We're just launching it now. It's letterstothepres.com, P-R-E-Z. And it's Ice Hat Creative is sponsoring the show along with the Robert Berman Gallery. And it's going to be great. So, look for it in the fall, like just end of November, December.
Now this whole political element, that's not really a part of Satellite Class music, though. I mean, usually write more about interpersonal relationships and things like that.
I mean, I'm as angry as the next person, and it comes out and just comes out in different ways. I'm not so vocal about it, but I do my part this way, so.
All right, cool. Well, you guys want to do a live song now?
Yeah, we're going to do, speaking of angry, we're going to do Loaded Pistol.
Oh. All right, whenever you guys are ready.
My feet, it's blazing hot.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Satellite Class, myspace.com/satelliteclass, satelliteclass.com. If you want to hear this episode later, it'll be available for download from myspace.com/thisisgood and also on the iTunes podcast probably tomorrow. So just drop by myspace.com/thisisgood to look for the link for that. One last question, just when you sort of look at what music is popular now and sort of what you're up against, is there anything that you don't that you want to avoid doing in terms of Satellite Class, like a direction you want to make sure you don't go? Like, do you ever hear something go, God, if I start doing that, somebody somebody please stop me?
VH1 in the morning.
Is that it?
I'm sorry. No. I just want to keep it raw as possible. Mm-hmm. That's my main thing. You know, it's going to get, if this takes off and goes further, you know, progression, it's just going to get more soaked up into the mainstream probably. But I just, as long as I keep it raw and as long as I'm happy with it and doing, you know, as long as I'm confident and believe in what I'm doing, then it's going to be fine no matter what, you know.
Cool. Do you guys want to just on the fly do another song?
Or you want to just fade out with solo? We'll just do that and just fade to black. Okay.
Yeah.
I know.
I love this song.
I know.
Anyway, don't forget myspace.com/satelliteclass and satelliteclass.com.
Thank you, John, for having us. And everybody out there, support Kill Radio.
Thanks again, Johnny, and the rest of Satellite Class for coming in. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org, myspace.com/thisisgood, and isgoodmusic.com.